Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you with us this morning. A special welcome for visitors and guests and family traveling from out of town. We're glad that you're here with us. If you're visiting our church for the first time and would like to know more, you can look in the seat rack in front of you. We have Let's Get Acquainted cards there. Please feel free to leave information and place the card in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Members and visitors alike can give prayer requests that way on those cards. I'd invite everyone to sign the friendship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign them and pass them to your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or after worship. I draw your attention to the inside cover of our bulletin. We have announcements of upcoming events or things going on today. There are two special announcements I'd like to highlight before turning it over to you. The first, that this is a special day for many reasons. One, I forgot to say Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. I know that's some reason for many traveling families, so if you had forgotten like I just did, please do call your mother later. And so we would like to invite you all to a special lunch upstairs in the fellowship hall, our second Sunday lunch, where we can join together with family and church family. And second, a special welcome to new members who are joining today, Roy and Donna Cooper and Laurie Scott. We are glad to have you joining with us, and we'll look forward to welcoming you later in the service. Now I'd invite any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Thanks, Rob. Are there others?
Yeah. Next Sunday, we're going to start our first step towards getting certified as an Earth Care congregation. So if that's something any of you are interested in, participating in, just grab me after the service or shoot me an email, and my email address is in the bulletin.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any others? Thank you. Are there others? It is a joy to gather together and to worship today. And with that joy, let us worship God and begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
That's a tough act to follow. Please stand for the call to worship. From Acts 1, Jesus said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now."
Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?
Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth."
Why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven, expecting God's Spirit.
Let us worship God.
And let us pray. Holy God, your Son, Jesus, prayed for his disciples and sent them into the world to announce your kingdom. By your Spirit, hold us together in unity and keep us faithful to your word, that worshiping together, we would be one with Christ in faith, hope, and love, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If you'll look in the prayer of confession in your bulletin, it is not actually a prayer of confession. But God gathers us together so that we can lose the barriers and the burdens that keep us from God. So I will lead us in a prayer after our silent confession. Let us pray together, remembering our sins before God. Gracious and loving God, we come to you in prayer confident that in Jesus Christ you hear us and you remember us. So we ask for your hearing today, that as we confess the sins of our hearts, for the things that we have done from here that have kept us from you, for the burdens we carry with us and bring to this place, that you would forgive us, that you would relieve us of those hard things that we bear, and that giving them over to you, we would find new life and freedom in the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us, Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. You all sounded great. Did you enjoy singing? Yes. Okay, good. So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about a time. Let's be quiet, okay? We've got to be quiet so we can listen to stories. And in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about a time when Jesus was with his disciples. And one of the things that Jesus does is he leaves his disciples and he goes up and he ascends into heaven. And all of a sudden, he's gone. So how do you think the disciples can talk to Jesus when he's gone. How do we talk to God when God, we don't always see him? Yes, that's right. So what do we do when we pray? Talk to God. What does this look like? Yeah, we put our hands together and we pray. Okay, I'm going to hold on for this for the rest of it, okay? Okay. So we talk to God, and one of the ways we do that is we put our hands together. What else do we do to pray? We talk. Yeah, we say words. What else do we do? Yeah. We close our eyes. That's great. Do we wiggle?
No.
You can wiggle. That's okay. But no, usually we don't wiggle. So are we loud or are we quiet? Usually we're quiet. Sometimes you can be loud and you say, thank you, God, I'm so glad that you've done this. But sometimes we're very quiet, like we were when we prayed our prayer of confession together. So there are all kinds of ways to talk to God, but we pray because we don't recognize Jesus with us in the same way he was with the disciples. But we're happy because we know that even though God is far away, we can still talk, we can still listen, because together we can pray. And that's true whether we're quiet or we're loud, okay? So do you think we should have a quiet prayer or a loud prayer together?
Quiet.
A quiet prayer. I think that's a good idea. Can we have a quiet prayer together? And we can thank God for being present to us and for listening to us in Jesus. Okay, we're going to pray. Can you show me how you pray? Can you put your hands together?
Sorry, Daddy.
Let's pray. You can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for listening, no matter where we are. Be with us, even when we can't see you, so that we can learn how to follow Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to be still for just another second. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, Friends, the scripture has had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the words of the Lord.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. In this season of the church year, in the end of Easter, Jesus leaves his disciples and ascends into heaven and promises that they will receive his Spirit. But here tonight, we look and we find Jesus with his disciples at the Last Supper, at another time when he will leave them. And Jesus prays for his disciples, telling them exactly what he would want for them. From the Gospel of John, listen for God's word to you. I have made known your name to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. If they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world, Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, be with us in our listening, that we would hear what we need to hear, what you want us to hear, to be your disciples, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Many years ago, when Dietrich Bonhoeffer was beginning a seminary to train young pastors for service in the church, he came up with a rule to prevent gossip in the new community. And the rule was this: no two people were allowed to talk about anyone else who was not present with them. So think about how hard that would be, or think about how this rule would operate in your life. If you wanted to talk about your brother's new job, or your neighbor's new car, or your aunt's terrible haircut, or your spouse's midlife crisis, or your neighbor's kid who is in trouble again, all the things you really want to talk about, you couldn't, not without real awkwardness. And so in practice, I imagine that this rule curtailed a lot of speech. Gossip has a bad reputation in the church. As well, it should. It can be hurtful. It can be destructive. You cannot control the effects of your words once they're loosed from your tongue. But originally, it was not so. Samuel Wells, who's the vicar of St. Martin's in the Fields Church in London, points out that the roots of the word gossip in English are actually God speak. So really, it's not far away from the words we use for gospel. Gossip was once when two members of a church or a Christian community, usually members who were older and wiser, would talk about a third who was younger and in need of spiritual seasoning. Gossip then was well-intended. It was a kind of spiritual matchmaking as elders conspired to introduce younger charges into a relationship with God. So how we came to a more negative understanding of gossip isn't hard to fathom. If you've been at either end of meddling in someone's life, spiritual or other, you know just how destructive that can be. But positively construed, maybe we would want to hear some gossip. What would it look like if we could hear about the state of our souls from people who really knew or had our best intentions in mind? Sometimes the direction of our lives may not be clear. We might have deep, burning questions that are unanswered. What wouldn't we give for someone to just come out and tell us the divine purpose for our life and to set our feet in that way? And in our story today, Jesus does just this with his disciples, the 11 remaining men who were with him at the Last Supper, and he does it for us too. Chapter 17 begins with Jesus looking up towards heaven and praying, and the words we hear are Jesus' conversation with God. Here Jesus names God Father, so we'll do the same, and Father, even though it's Mother's Day, might be a more helpful way to think about it just because Jesus is having a conversation with someone as he would anyone else, only it's God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We won't go for all the interesting implications this has for Trinitarian theology here. Can Jesus really answer his own prayer? In short, no. And the point is that the prayer is a conversation between two, for lack of a better word, people. The content of what Jesus says is much more interesting, more relevant for us. From our perspective, instead of getting two members of the church gossiping about us, speculating on what might aid us in the life of faith, Here we get Jesus himself conversing with God about his intention for his disciples. How are they going to spend the rest of their lives? What will they need for the challenges on the way? And if Jesus could tell his disciples anything before he leaves them, what would that be? We get the answer through Jesus, God speak. To listen to Jesus pray is almost like eavesdropping. We're not sure we're meant to be where we are, barging in on Jesus' relationship with God. We wouldn't do this with our friends or family. We wouldn't open up someone else's mail or help ourselves to their unprotected computer or phone. Something like that would seem like a violation. And surely overhearing someone's prayer would be in this category. Except that Jesus understands that his disciples are listening to every single word. And so we might be able to guess that Jesus is asking for exactly what he wants from God. And two, it is for our benefit. In fact, this is just what Jesus says, I am asking on their behalf. So what does Jesus ask for? It's a lot. This is one of the wordier sections of the gospel, several chapters of Jesus' thoughts to his disciples, but this passage we read today boils down to three or four basic requests. Jesus prays that the disciples would share his joy, and that they would be protected from evil, that they would become one, that they would be made holy in God's truth. And this is it. God in Christ wants us to be joyful, to be protected from evil, to be one, to become holy. And all of this sounds good, if a little churchy. But there's one more detail. One thing that isn't so much what God wants from us, so much as the reality we don't always recognize. This is what Jesus says. He says, we don't belong to this world. We don't belong where we are. Despite all the good that God wants us to gain, we have something to give up, too. That can be a hard thing to hear. You don't belong where you are. Despite the satisfaction of your life, your deep relationships, long friendships, a place in a community, a church, ultimately, you are not where you belong. So the one thing that Jesus always does is discomfort us when we're too comfortable. But he balances this with an assurance that all the big questions, all the what am I doing here questions, all the meaning of life questions, all the things we want Jesus to give us a direct answer on, it is this. All that discomfort is you don't belong to this world. And that's good news. You don't belong to the world of cancer or divorce or depression or financial hardship. You don't belong to the world of war or rumors of war or political instability or ugliness. You don't belong to your job or your broken relationships or the sense of disappointment you might have. The Heidelberg Catechism from our book of Confessions asks, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but I belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't belong to this world. You belong to God. Somewhere between the comfort and the challenge, the assurance and the adventure, the gain and the loss, we find the gospel. We find out who we really are in light of the one to whom we belong. A glimpse at Scripture shows us that this challenge and comfort together, it's usually the way that God meets people. There's a total dislocation followed by the recovery of much more. Abraham is called to leave home, to leave everything he has, and becomes a father late in life, a father to nations. Joseph is sold into slavery only to rise high enough in political culture in a strange land to become a savior to his starving people. Moses is a prince who becomes a shepherd out on the lam, only to find himself speaking with God's own words and talking with God face to face as a friend. David, the shepherd boy, becomes a king. And something similar happens with all the prophets, plucked from obscurity, vested with strange power. Even the unfortunate Job loses everything he has, only to regain more than he had at first. Israel goes into exile, losing the favor of God, only to recover something greater in the person of Jesus. If you don't know these stories, that's okay. You can find them without too much trouble. They all say that life with God is simultaneously the most demanding thing you can do and also the best. And if this is what happens with God's people, this means that it happens with us too. Somewhere between the comfort of the gospel and the challenge, we find the place where we belong. Those two aspects of life of faith, dislocation and belonging, always exist in tension. Maybe we know we're not exactly where God intends us, and we know there's much more behind it, and the reality we're in points to something greater. And C.S. Lewis described this feeling as like looking at a scene through a mirror. He says, maybe you'll get an idea of it like this. You might have been in a room where there was a window that overlooked a lovely bay of the sea or a green valley that wound away on a mountain. And on the wall of that room, opposite the window, there may have been a looking glass. And as you turned away from the window, you suddenly caught sight of that sea or that valley all over again in the looking glass. And the scene in the mirror or the valley in the mirror were in one sense just as same as the real one. Yet at the same time, they were somehow different, deeper, but more wonderful, more like places in a story that you have never heard, but would very much like to know. Today we have new members joining with us, affirming that for them in this season, this church is where they belong. It is not because this is the only place they could be. It's not because this is the ultimate place they will be. But like a mirror reflecting some distant place, God gathers us in the church to reflect something of the comfort and challenge of following Jesus together. And we don't do it perfectly, but God knows we don't do it perfectly. But we do it well enough, so that through the imperfections and cracks and mistakes of the community of God, we see something different, deeper but more wonderful, like a story you have never heard but would very much like to know. And because of Jesus' interest in us, we understand the ways that we are to live in this story, united in God's love, in the joy of a life following God, made holy by our pursuit of the truth, just the things Jesus asks. And if all of this sounds difficult, it's because it is. And the more we look like this, the less we will look like the world around us. The less we will get a sense that we belong out there, but we belong somewhere that looks like it, but isn't quite it. Through the challenge comes the promise that Christ prays for us, that we would be one as Jesus is one with God. What wouldn't we give to overhear exactly what God wants for us? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite our new members to come forward and join me in the front of the church. All of us who are here, God says, you belong. It may just be for a Sunday. You may be going home after this. It may be for a season. It may be a lifetime. But wherever you are temporarily, know that you belong to God. Today we receive new members and hear their affirmation that they belong to God, and together we belong to God as a church. So I'd like to introduce to you our newest members, Roy Cooper, Donna Cooper, and Laurie Scott, all of whom joined by transfer of their letter from different places. Many of you may know Roy and Donna from their previous time with us at First Presbyterian Church. You may not know Laurie Scott, but you might notice that she resembles some members of our congregation already. We are excited to welcome you. We encourage you to come and introduce yourself to make sure our new members feel like they belong here with you, that we have affirmed together that they do. So let us join together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your life poured out for us in Jesus Christ and for your Holy Spirit who gathers us and knits us together and makes us one in Christ. We thank you for our new members, for Roy, for Donna, and Laurie, and ask your blessing on them in this next chapter of their lives as their stories join with ours. We pray that you would give them encouragement and love, belonging and friendship, that you would teach us as a church how to receive their gifts, that together we would grow into the image and likeness of your Son, in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. As one church united in Jesus Christ, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In gratitude and thanksgiving, let us return our gifts to God. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come here by different ways, in different seasons of life, from different places. You have made us one in Jesus Christ. We are grateful for this shared calling we have, for this community in the church, for this place that we have to know and worship and love and serve you. We're grateful for the ways that you have guided us in our work. And we thank you for the gifts and blessings we have received from you. We pray your encouragement as we return these gifts to you today, that they would be planted and nurtured by your Spirit, that they would flourish to tell others that they belong to you. Lord, in your mercy. In the changing seasons outside, in the changing seasons of our lives, we recognize your guiding hand before us. We thank you for ways that we mark the passage of time through the story of faith we receive, through the seasons of Easter and Ascension, for the expectation we have of your Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We thank you for the seasons we mark in our church, for baptisms, for new ministries, for new members and new programs. We ask your blessing on this work. We thank you for Roy and Donna and Laurie and ask your blessing on them as they join with us and join with you to follow in the way of your Son, Jesus. We're grateful for the other blessings we receive every day of our life, for the gifts of motherhood, for the mothers in our own lives, people, although not related, who have been mothers to us. We remember the scripture that describes you as a mother who will not forsake her nursing child. We thank you for so great a love we experience in our own lives through the caring hands of others. Lord, in your mercy. We remember that even in the gifts we receive, there are challenges too. As we pray your guidance in those challenges and the ways that we have been called to serve, we ask that you teach us, that you bless our work in places like Blue Ridge Elementary School and with the children of Camp AIM. We pray wisdom and guidance as we learn what it means to be stewards of your creation in our green team. We ask that you be with the people of Dalton Senior Housing as we visit with them this summer. Teach us how to serve, teach us how to love. Teach us how to follow the example of your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for those who are receiving new challenges in new seasons of life. We pray for our stated clerk and mission coordinator of Cherokee Presbytery, Nikki Collins, as she goes to other work, and ask your blessing on her next steps. We pray for those who have other challenges in new seasons of life, those who are sick or recovering from surgery. We pray for Catherine Brantley, for Sandover, for Ann Farrow, for Dick Lowry, for those we know and love and keep silent watch over in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. There are many others to remember and name and love, and we ask that your Spirit would guide us on the way, Set our feet to the paths of discipleship, to paths of peace, that we would go from here as those carrying your image to a world that needs it, that needs your healing and your love. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is with us in your spirit, teaching us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Know that wherever you are, wherever you go, you belong to God. So go in the confidence that Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit is with you, teaching you all that you need. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.